everyone. I'm Ashley Banfield, and this is Drop Dead Serious. And I know I'm wearing a dress, and it's not usual. I'm kind of hoodie and plaid, but it's getting to be summer. And so summer dress. I have a lot to tell you about things that Brian Hooker has said that we are digging up from his past. Because suddenly they don't match all the stuff that we've discovered in the last 5.5 weeks about his story. What happened to Lynette Hooker? What happened to your wife, Brian Hooker? Because she didn't bounce off the back of your dinghy and then suddenly get lost in the giant seas and the current and the waves and the tide. All that stuff didn't happen. Okay, none of it works. We've already been through it a million times. I won't bore you all with all the things that are provable about the weather that night, the photographs we have at the exact time, in the exact place, no waves. So that story didn't happen. And then 8-9 hours later, when you washed up on shore, I suddenly have a story that you put on the record. Now, I do my best to comb everything, to find everything, to give you all the reporting I can. This one slipped me by. Fox News Digital actually found the security guard at the boatyard where Brian Hooker washed up. And they were able to talk to him. I haven't found it on video. I've just got a transcript from it. But as I read through the transcript now, like 4 weeks later, it's like, bro, what you said then doesn't match the stuff you told other people or the facts or the evidence. So I thought I'd go through all of it with you, just, you know, like a parlor game. Because at this stage of my life in this investigation, it's literally about finding all the things that Brian has said and showing you why they're lies. Because it's just becoming so voluminous. It's what I call a pile of bad facts. And if a jury ends up hearing all these, and he's not charged with anything right now. Brian Hooker's not charged with anything. There's two criminal investigations going on, one with the Bahamian police and one with the Coast Guard Investigative Service. By the way, can I just tell you, the number of media outlets, podcasters, all these people who call the investigators FBI, it's not true. They are not FBI. So please, let's just be accurate, y'all. The lead investigators on this case are like FBI of the water. I mean, they are the Coast Guard Investigative Service. They are bad effing ass. They know their shit. They're doing their shit. And they seized that effing boat. They got Soulmate off the coast of Florida, and they are reaming it a new one. They are going through it with a fine-tooth comb, and it is very productive. My sources tell me things are going very, very well. The things that they were hoping were on board. You know, the way sailors who live aboard, how they might wire a boat with all sorts of electronics that, have memory and show when people are on board using power and show navigational history and show battery use and all those magical things, not to mention the Starlink on the mast. Thank you, Jesus, for that Starlink on the mast, because Starlink is something you connect to when you get close to it. So if Brian and Lynette connected to Starlink with their watches or their phones as they got near to Starlink, well, Starlink would have that history. Brian says they got nowhere near, 1,000 yards away, and boof, off she went. And then, I floated for 9 hours. Okay, wait until you hear what the boatyard guy has to say about the 9 hours of floating. It's chef's kiss. Also, guess what else? I found out something, and it doesn't bode well for Brian Hooker. Brian sent, you'll remember this, Brian sent messages to Jim Todd. Jim Todd is one of my favorite people on the planet. He's Hopetown Volunteer Fire and Rescue. Give generously, please. They're all volunteer. Brian sent these text messages to Jim Todd all about the search for my wife and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, as he was spinning all his yarn, he also sent maps. And you've probably seen Brian's adorable little cartoon map showing, well, this is where I floated. Here are the arrows. Well, I have been studying those maps like crazy because I saw they're super duper AI. So Bri White was on his Wi-Fi creating maps. And I finally found out what maps he was getting and what AI he was using, because I think that's going to be a game changer. It has been for us in the past in true crime. The Google searches have been enough to sink so many different defendants. I can't even begin to name them all, but they're delicious whenever you see their Google searches being read to them when they're either on the stand or at defense table and then like counting the minutes to guilty. So when Bri-Y was making his maps, I found out it's Gemini. He's using Gemini. His AI of choice, at least for this bullshit story, was Gemini. And so Ashley's little brain started ticking away. Like, I wonder what else he used Gemini for. I wonder when else he might have been using Gemini. Like, is it possible? And I'm not saying it is, because Brian Hooker's not charged with anything yet. Is it possible that that bullshit bounced off the dinghy story didn't happen, and that dinghy instead did make it to Soulmate, to their sailboat? And the Wi-Fi all connects to the watches and the hip bone and the thigh bone and all the rest. Is it possible that something went wrong on board? Lynette was unalived on board. And then suddenly it's, what do I do about this? Ask AI. Gemini. Is all of that, any of it, possible? Because if Gemini was the AI of choice for those stupid fucking maps, this is where I floated and this is what happened and blah, blah, blah. What else was Gemini used for? And what time was Gemini used? Because, my friends, this is like, it's like shooting fish in a barrel for crime fighters. If you're a Googler or if you're an AI-er, and you're trying to clean up your mess, yeah, that's like, I'm telling you, it's just like, it's the delight of us, because I don't have to tell you, people think they're smarter than the rest of us, and they're not. So I'm just saying, Brian Hooker's not charged with anything, but Bri. Oh, bro. If you had your fingers doing the walking on board Soulmate, looking for like, I don't know, maybe soft sand beaches nearby in the darkness, or maybe mangrove areas that might have little creeks that you could get through, if you were doing all that, well, investigators are going to find it. Yeah, that sucks to be you. Tick fucking talk. So there you go. Gemini, that's our best friend at this point, as well as Starlink, right? And as well as Lynette's Apple Watch. I still say Lynette wearing that Apple Watch, when we found that picture of her taking selfies, and you can see that, not a tan line, folks, it's her powder pink Apple Watch band on her wrist. And suddenly it's not on her wrist, it's on board Soulmate. Well, how did that happen if she bounced off the back of the dinghy on the way to Soulmate? The 46-foot sloop. Someone told me it's a Morgan. I still have to check that, but and I also had the value wrong, okay? So, and Lindsay's telling me it is a Morgan. What was the year, Lindsay? It's a 46-foot sloop. It's a Morgan, and I thought it was worth somewhere around $100,000, but apparently he paid around $51,000, $52,000 for it, something like that. So half the value that I thought it was. Lindsay's telling me it's a 1980 Morgan. Still a lovely boat, I think. I love sailboats. I've spent a lot of time on sailboats. I love sailing. I've captained a 40, I crewed on a 44-foot CNC back in the day, and I captained, I think it was a 36-foot CNC in the Whitsunday Islands in Australia, but I still had no business captaining that boat. I still don't know half of the shit that I should. So I still think it's a lovely boat. In any case, and by the way, sorry, Brian, you're not getting your boat back. It's got crime scene tape all around it. We took the video. It's sitting there at the Coast Guard station in Fort Pierce, Florida, because that's where they towed it from 40 miles offshore. And it's crime scene. And agents are getting up and down, off board and on board, taking stuff off it daily. Yeah, still happening. They're still going up and down and getting on board and off board and taking evidence and putting it in those nice evidence bags that we spotted. We were able to shoot all that because we are on this story. We are not letting it go. And Brian Hooker, I am your worst fucking nightmare. You probably thought we'd all just say, oh, wow, sorry for your loss. It must be so hard being you. Fuck you. Because we're not leaving any of these details of yours unturned, right? We're actually getting to the devil in the details because that's where they live. And so we're in them and we're not letting go until we find all these bullshit details of yours. And I know I'm not the only one. I'm just the only one that can tell you stuff from the investigation, but the Coast Guard Investigative Service, those guys are doing the hard work. They're like 5 weeks into this. And they have been busy every single day. And I know that because I check with them every day. I check in and I find out, like, okay, what's happening? And now there's a lot they can't tell me, obviously. But I know they're working on it every day. It's what it takes when you're going to seize a boat 40 miles offshore. Got to do a little bit of legwork to know that it's coming. Poor Ryan, right? He's thinking he's going to get it back. Ooh. Bummer for you, pal. Bummer for you. Okay, a couple of things I want to tell you about. So here I was searching for this guy named Edward Smith. He is a security guard overnight at the boatyard, you know. The boatyard is this big, bright beacon of light, says Brian is supposedly floating for 9 hours towards Marsh Harbor, literally seeing these bright lights 150 yards away and then suddenly decides to go the other way. That's his story. I went and knocked on doors. Well, the only doors are through like so much tangle of like gnarly mangroves and forests and scrub. It would have taken hours and cuts and machetes and all the rest to go into the darkness. And then you would have had to go through like a creek, according to Jim Todd from Fire and Rescue. You would have had to go through like a whole watery area, knocked on two doors and then, no other doors, even though there's all these other doors in that subdivision, okay? And then, apparently, you said something like a car, you know, flagged down a car, and then he took off. Again, absolute horseshit. Because if you got back to the boatyard, you either went back through that tangle of hell, and you wouldn't have made it. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, pitch black. Or you would have had to walk miles out into the roadway and then miles all the way back to the boatyard. And why would you do that? Because you'd already be in land by that point. So that whole story is shit. So the boatyard guy says, this guy comes walking up. And let me just read you some things that Edward Smith told Fox News Digital when they talked to him. And I can only read you the account because I don't have any video of it. And I don't know that they had video. I don't know if they just talked to him on the phone, but whatever it was. Because as I read his account now, from everything else we've learned, it's like, oh, Brian, dumbass. You got to keep your story straight if you're going to lie. So Edward Smith says, Hooker appeared exhausted and primarily asked for water. Natch, if you've been floating for 9 hours, you would be all that bag of chips. And so the security guard asked what happened, and Hooker said they were returning by dinghy from a bar restaurant in Hopetown. It wasn't in Hopetown. You were at the Abaco Inn. Hopetown's way further north, but okay. They got caught in rough water and the lady went overboard. And Smith said, I asked him, so where's the lady? And he says, she's in the water. Now, these are Edward Smith's words, so I will not ascribe them to Brian. This could be his interpretation of the conversation. But effectively, that's the story that Edward Smith was being told, the security guard. But Smith was surprised by the amount of time, because Smith asked Brian Hooker, when did she fall in? And Hooker said around 7 p.m. Do what now, Brian Hooker? 7 p.m.? Because you told the rest of us it was 8 p.m. because it was dark. Too dark to see her anymore in the 2 to 4 foot seas, which were really glass calm because we've seen the video and the pictures. Yeah, 7 p.m. I mean, it's bright light at 7 p.m. I was there, literally in that spot from 7 until 8, watching exactly when it got dark. And the weird thing is, it doesn't even really get dark until just a couple minutes before 8, and then it goes whammo. The nightfall just hits really, really hard when the sun gets low enough. But this dude, first of all, he says, well, says to somebody, I left at 7:30, the Abaco Inn, and it's only about a maybe 12-minute ride, dinghy ride out to Soulmate. So let's just say 7:38 or 7:36, this calamity happens and off she bounces and the waves and the wind and the, sorry, that just, every time I say it, I get angry. It was calm and lovely, but it's bright light at that time as well. And lots of neighbors, other boats are around. So now you're telling the boatyard guy that it was sometime around 7 p.m., a full hour before nightfall? Again, you got to get your story straight if you're going to tell a lie. So then Edward Smith, whom I love at this point, says, so I say, from 7? And you're just reaching the shore now? Which is exactly what the rest of us said. Hold the phone. You are telling us that you're drifting 4 miles without any propulsion because you lost your other oar and you lost the key because Lynette had it in her dry bag and you had one oar and you're just getting to Marsh Harbor now? 9 hours? So Edward Smith, the security guard overnight at Marsh Harbor, has the same bewilderment as the rest of us. Hooker explained to him that the wind was strong, the dinghy drifted away from her in the dark, and he couldn't see her. He said she was swimming towards Hopetown with a yellow bag. Now hold on. She's swimming where now? You're telling the security guard she's swimming towards Hopetown? Well, that's north from where you are. And you told Fire and Rescue and everybody else that the last you saw her, she was swimming towards the boat, which is south. Entirely due south is the boat. Entirely due north is Hopetown. And I think someone else, you said that you thought she was swimming to shore. But nobody else heard the story that she was swimming with a yellow dry bag. A yellow bag. So again, get your shit straight. Your dry bag is yellow. Her dry bag is bright green. And you never told anybody else that she was swimming with it. You said it just went over. You never mentioned another word about it. You said you threw the floaty out to her and called out her name. And to one person you said, and I never heard her voice. And then to someone else, I heard her yelling, but I couldn't make out what she was saying. Once again, get your story straight, fella. Okay, so now Lynette has a yellow bag, according to Brian, talking to the security guard, Edward Smith. Here's another rich little piece of bullshit. Hooker claimed he sent up 2 flares, according to Edward Smith. Hooker claims he sent up 2 flares. One boat passed without stopping. A second flare to another boat also got no response. Is that right? Because in the boating community, a flare is mayday. It's not, oh, look, someone has fireworks. Never mind. A flare is mayday. So you sent up 2 flares because we got word that only one had discharged from the flare gun found in the bottom of the boat. We also got word from shore, from witnesses, a group of witnesses, who said there was a flare that went off from Soulmate. Just one. And some of those witnesses, according to Jim Todd, the fire and rescue representative, said it was horizontal. Now, others said they thought it was vertical. So it could be the angle they were looking at, but that's, I mean, witness accounts can be very, very unreliable. They can be skewed. Memories are weird. Used to be that, you know, courts relied entirely on witnesses. It's tricky now. Science ain't great. But the fact is lots of people, well, a group of people, more than one, more than 2, more than 3, as we're told from sources, saw a flare from Soulmate. Not from where this jackoff says he sent it off. He told, I believe he told Fire and Rescue as well, that he'd floated all the way to Lubber's Quarters, which is about a mile from Elbow Key, maybe 3/4 of a mile, and then threw his anchor down. Oh, because that's when you should have done it. And you're a U.S. Marine, right? X. You're an X. U.S. Marine. And no one else who's a U.S. Marine, do I ever call them ex? Because I think once a Marine, always a Marine. But you, Brian Hooker, you don't want to espouse any of the principles and the honor that the United States Marine Corps espouse. None of it. So ex, you couldn't throw your anchor down when your wife is, you know, being lost in the waves and the current and the tide, in the dark. So you told everybody else you were like all the way over at Lubbers and you sent off the flare. And yet witnesses say it happened at Soulmate. And now there's two? You told the boat guy there's two? But it looks like there's only one spin and the witnesses only saw one? You gotta get that story straight, fella. Okay. And the fact that no one would stop for a flare, that's the other thing. Forget it. I do want to mention that Edward Smith, the security guard, the overnight security guard at the boatyard, he saw that Brian Hooker had a yellow bag with him. There's been a lot, you know, said about the dry bag that Brian Hooker had at the boatyard. He washes up around 4 in the morning, and this security guard sees a yellow bag, and we know it's a dry bag, right? But as he got onto the search and rescue vessel from Hopetown Volunteer Fire and Rescue. Give generously, please. There are 4 fire and rescue personnel on board. Jim Todd remembers very specifically the details about Brian Hooker getting on board. He was wearing a blue and white Hawaiian cut styled shirt in a fabric that was like fisherman or sailing, you know, just sort of that breathable, athletic kind of fabric, but the cut of a Hawaiian shirt, blue and white pattern of some kind, as well as royal blue slides and a royal blue dry bag, not a yellow dry bag. Another of the fire and rescue personnel said they remember an aqua blue dry bag. Could be the difference between somebody thinks aqua, somebody thinks royal, but they both have this account that when he got on board, he had this aqua blue dry bag. A third representative from Hopetown Volunteer Fire and Rescue can't remember at all what kind of dry bag. Didn't see it, didn't register. But the fourth, this is the one that drives me crazy. The fourth one remembers the yellow bag. Quote, from the beginning. That's what the fourth fire and rescue representative said. Yeah, yellow bag from the beginning. Well, clearly, Edward Smith says he's got a yellow dry bag. But there's something else, because rep number 3, who said that it was a aqua color dry bag, remembers the aqua dry bag getting thrown up onto Soulmate when they got to Soulmate and sidled up next to it and tied up so that Brian could get out on board his sailing vessel and also a police officer could get out on board the sailing vessel. And they went down below for an hour, those two. And when they came back out, Brian left his dry bag. And the fire and rescue rep had this thought in his head, like, dumbass, you forgot your dry bag. So there was enough of a memory of that dry bag and the color of it being left on board Soulmate. Where is this discrepancy between the yellow dry bag and the aqua or royal blue dry bag? There's a piece of the puzzle missing there. If you have theories, please put them in the comments, because I am trying to figure this one out. To my knowledge, they're opaque, so it's not as though one is showing through the other. Well, maybe I'm wrong, but two complete different stories about the color of the dry bag that Brian Hooker had that morning. Odd. One of them is not green, though. One of them is not Lynette's green dry bag. And there's Brian saying that she was swimming towards Hopetown with a yellow bag. What, Brian? Hopetown's north. Your boat is south. You told everybody else she was swimming towards the boat. And then someone else, I think you said, swimming towards shore. You sure didn't have that one down pat. And the yellow bag? Bro, she had a green dry bag. Let's not even get started on what she was wearing. Oh, she was only wearing a 2-piece black bathing suit. Bullshit again. Either you were hiding and obfuscating when the rescuers were asking, what are we looking for? Or you're just a horrible man, a horrible husband who doesn't even know what your damn wife was wearing when she went out and you lost her forever. She had an aqua-colored bathing suit cover-up. 2-piece black bathing suit underneath it, royal blue Conch Republic headscarf and likely a black fanny pack. There's the description, Brian, in case you were wondering. Let's talk about what's really in your makeup. Most of us spend a lot of time worrying about what we eat, what we drink, how we take care of our families, but we cake our faces in makeup full of chemicals that we can't even pronounce. Your skin is your body's largest organ, so whatever you put on it, that's absorbed. And it's why I use Toops & Company. Here's what I love. Their liquid foundation and their face primer, they don't just cover your skin, they actually nourish it. Most makeup requires constant touch-ups or it leaves your skin feeling kind of heavy and clogged, but this stuff feels incredibly light, doesn't cake, and it actually lasts throughout the day. If you're tired of using makeup with mystery chemicals, you don't have to anymore. Simplify your routine and actually feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Head to toopsandco.com/Banfield. They're offering my listeners 25% off your first order with the code Banfield. Again, that's Toops and Co. Let me spell it. TOOPSANDCO.com/Banfield. TOOPSANDCO.com/Banfield. Use the code Banfield for 25% off your first order. You can always just click the link in the description too. Let's talk about a couple other things that are super important in this investigation. You've probably heard me talk about the watch that the Bahamian police gave back to Brian as they let him out of detention. You know, you have to give your, you know, your valuables when you're being booked into a detention center, and then you get them back when you're released, if you're ever released. Well, Brian was given his watch. I really wish the Bahamians had kept that watch. They didn't keep it. Didn't photograph them, to my knowledge, either. But that watch is sort of whitish, big, clunky white watch. He's seen in a lot of social media wearing it. But guess what? We found a lot of other social media where he's wearing an entirely different watch, sort of a greenish black watch. So what was he wearing that day and that night? Because so many of these watches, and Brian is a self-professed geek, he loves his gear, he connects everything to his apps and to his phone and his diving and all the rest. Might there be some metrics on those watches? If we can ever get those watches, but maybe there are apps, companies on whom you can drop paper slash warrants, search warrants, to find out what the GPS data might show on those kinds of watches. So I'm just super interested. Two different watches, a green and black one and a white one as well. There's something I want to draw your attention to, because when we spotted it, we smelled a rat. And I thought, oh, this one is a bad fact for Brian Hooker. As it turns out, it may not be. But let me start with an up close. If you watch the ABC, NBC, and CBS interviews, congratulations, not that many of you did, you've probably seen them clipped on podcasts instead, because network television is dying. But if you saw those interviews, there's a good close-up that you can zero in on his fingernails. Now, I'm one to talk, I've got terrible fingernails, I've never had nice fingernails, but they're clean! If you work on a boat, if you're a sailor, I get it, you're tinkering in the engine room, and okay, you might have dirty fingernails, totally. But if you are out all day in the ocean, swimming at, say, Tahiti Beach for hours and hours, and then you're over at the Abaco Inn in the pool swimming, that stuff gets pretty cleaned up pretty quick. Lots of people will see their nails cleaning up real quick in the salt water when you're in there all day, swimming, paddling. Tahiti Beach is an in-the-water experience. You don't really hang out up on the beach. You're just sort of, you're walking around with the manta rays, and there's a walk-up bar in the water, and so you're in the water. So I'm thinking, where'd that dirt come from, Brian, under your nails? Because, you know, the night that all that hell happened, you're in the boat, in the water, and it was supposed to have rained, which you never mentioned to anybody. Yeah, the weather report said it rained, but you never said that to anybody. And then, like, that's Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're arrested, and you're in a Bahamian jail at that point. That stuff looked embedded, like you'd been digging in the dirt. So that's what I'm wondering. Were you digging in the dirt, Brian? And I started asking some questions, and I found out that Brian has a fungus problem with his toenails, and it spread to his fingernails, and it made his fingernails and toenails look black and dirty all the time. And apparently Lynette was trying really hard to help him fix it. She'd even bought him some elixir to fix it, but it wasn't working, and his fingernails and toenails apparently looked like that all the time. So was he digging? I don't know. Is that blackness around his fingers from digging? I can't tell you that definitively because of the fungus. Lynette even bought this bottle of Benjamin's Healing Oil. Benjamin's Healing Oil to try to help her husband with his toenail fungus and his fingernail fungus. What a sweetheart that Lynette would do that for you, Brian. What'd you do for her? What'd you do to her? Brian's not charged with anything yet. Brian's innocent until proven guilty. Brian's not charged with anything. TikTok. So, got to wipe that one kind of off the map for now. But I do want to talk to you about something I discussed before. Great Guanaki. In some of Lynette and Brian's social media, Lynette says, we got the scuba tanks filled at Great Guanaki, and they posted it on April 2nd, which is just 2 days before she disappears. Of course, posting it on April 2nd, there's no way to know that it happened on April 2nd. Posting it could have been filmed weeks before and just posted on April 2nd. Till we found out, based on their GPS locations, the AIS and the No Foreign Land mapping, they were at Great Guanaki on April 2nd. So they filled those scuba tanks on April 2nd. So what I want to know is how full are they now? Because 2 days later, nobody's on that boat, right? Not supposed to be on that boat again. And I'd like to know if Brian's tank is depleted or if Lynette's is full and his isn't. Just be interesting to see. Also, I've been talking about Lynette's weight belt because they dive all the time, but you can see this picture of her in her scuba gear. And you're going to have to, forgive me if I botch this, but I think it's called a WDB, a weight distribution belt. It's like a vest that holds the tanks, but the weight is actually in the vest. So I just think it would be interesting for investigators who are combing through that boat to find Lynette's scuba gear and find out if all the weight that's supposed to be there is there, and if her scuba tank is full and his isn't. Why is that? Because again, they just filled those scuba tanks at Great Guanaki 2 days prior. And we also know that all day on the 4th, all day, they're at Tahiti Beach and then the Abaquan, they're not scuba diving. So there's no scuba diving on the 4th. That would leave the 3rd. There's no report or video or anything of them scuba diving on the 3rd. In fact, on the 3rd, they're making their way to the Firefly Inn to throw down anchor and spend the night there, and then wake up that next morning on the 4th, pull up anchor at 11:30 and make your way down south to Aunt Pat's Bay where they threw down anchor for the last time. So I don't think there was any scuba diving going on. So if there's air used up in any of the tanks, be a good question to ask why. In my opinion, scuba gear could be used to get rid of something on the bottom of the ocean that you can't get to by boat. For instance, if you wanted to, say, take a body out to the Atlantic, it would have been very hard to do that in a dinghy. And I only say that because I saw the waves that day. I saw how rough it is on the other side of Elbow Key, on the Atlantic side. And it would be a suicide mission to head out there in a dinghy. I mean, the rollers are huge when it's an 18-knot wind. And it's lovely on the leeward side. Hence, it's an anchorage. Anchor, because it's calm. But scuba gear is a different way to get out in the water. You know, if you say, I don't know, beach on Tahiti Beach, which is right there. I mean, it's like 1 minute away, maybe 3 minutes in your dinghy. Beach it on Tahiti Beach, carry your payload to the other side, to the Atlantic side, and then launch in with your scuba gear. It's a theory only. Brian's not charged with anything. But these are the things that you have to wonder investigators are thinking, right? What are all the ways that Lynette could have disappeared? Because Lynette did not go overboard. Lynette did not go overboard. She would have been found in the Abacos, everyone to a T, the locals, the search parties, the police, the fire and rescue, everyone we've spoken to, experts, all say the same thing. If Brian's story was true, we'd have found Lynette. It's like a big bathtub. It's only like 4, 6, 8 feet, 15 at the deepest, deepest part. You can see everything. We'd have found that dry bag. You'd have found that. No problem. You'd have found, even if the sharks got to her, you'd have found what they call particle. You'd have found something, because sharks typically don't finish things off. They just don't. And so it's widely believed she's either buried or she was somehow taken out to the Atlantic. Soulmate didn't move. That much we know from AIS. And I know that it's weird that they went offline and all the rest, but the no foreign land, that was still on. And Soulmate didn't move that night. But we've spoken about the engines on the dinghy. There was an old engine, and Lynette texted multiple times to her friend Marnie that they were getting a new engine, right? They had a Torquedo, the old engine, and they were getting a new one that was really sick with lots of telemetrics and all sorts of coolness to it. Electric engine called an NT-300. Nathan Thomas 300, an NT-300. That's the new one. So you would assume that the NT-300 that was pictured on the back of that dinghy at Great Gowanna Key when they were going to fill up the scuba tanks 2 days prior to Lynette disappearing, you would think that that NT-300 engine is going to be on the back of the dinghy. Bahamians have the dinghy. We will see what's on the back of the dinghy. Because if the torpedo's on the back of the dinghy, well, why would that be? That's weird. Makes no sense. You suddenly switched engines 2 days after? You got the brand new engine that you've had on for, what, almost 2 years now? Because if you've got the scuba gear and the waves are too rough for the dinghy, you could get yourself in to the Atlantic in the darkness and drag your payload with, I don't know, say, a weight belt or a WBD, a weight displacement belt. And you could carry your payload out and leave her. And then wiggle your little fins all the way back and skulk back to your dinghy and then put on this grand show that you floated across the Abacos. I'm just saying it's a possibility. I'm not saying that Brian Hooker did that. Brian Hooker's not charged with anything yet. Not charged with anything. Innocent till proven guilty. But these are the possibilities. And so to that end, searches are ongoing, right? Locals have been amazing. Nathan, who's an angel, has been searching the shorelines and giving us the videos of his searches. And he's got another one that we'll be bringing to you in the next episode that's really good because it will show you all the places that wouldn't be so tough to dig down in the sand right at the water's edge, but at least above the high tide line, you know? All the places where in the dark you'd be able to do this without too much trouble. Before, say, floating to Marsh Harbor. And so I'm going to bring that to you in the next episode, plus a couple of other really, really interesting little nuggets that disprove everything, really, this whole bullshit story that Brian Hooker has been feeding us. Because to that I say, tick fucking talk, motherfucker. You are going down. Your lies are unbearable. They are just unbearable. But it's a good thing that there's people like us and like the Coast Guard Investigative Service that will not let this go, because little by little, we just keep chipping away at your pile of shit. And eventually, what's going to be left over is a big fat indictment. I feel it in my bones. Can I say it for sure? No. But I feel it. I feel like that indictment's coming. Yeah, you're not seeing Soulmate again. I pretty much put money on that. You're not going to see Soulmate again. So kiss that one goodbye. It's what you call evidence now. Crime scene. Crime scene tape. Hey, listen, you guys have been amazing, by the way. I can't tell you how much I appreciate all of the emails that we've been getting. We keep telling you if you know anything, dropdeadseriousinfo@gmail.com, dropdeadseriousinfo@gmail.com. We've been getting amazing information, and I can't thank you enough. I'm also like super thankful of all the people who have come together and crowdsourced the solution of this ridiculous lie that Brian Hooker has been telling us. And you know who you are. I just want to say a couple of names because I so appreciate you guys. Hope and Pete, you're amazing. Captain Ronnie, you know how great you are. Dave Kasoy, thank you, dude. Captain Tony, Captain's on Call, unbelievable. Captain Lou, Lydia, Jim and Cindy, Michaela, Marina, you've been incredible too. Nathan, amazing. Wendy, Cindy, I know there's two Cindys. Greg, Ashley, Fisherman Joe with the Wahoo. Oh, Dean, you and your daughters, Katie and Julianne, who've been so helpful with the video of the light events at night. You had your video going from Lubbers and we could see the light events on what looks like Soulmate at midnight, times when no one was supposed to be there. Jaden, Jackie, and then there are a couple of you who are anonymous, but you know who you are and you have helped us and you've just said, keep a name out of it. We're going to keep your name out of it, but you know who you are and we are so incredibly thankful. If you have anything you want to tell us, drop us a line. Happy to keep your name anonymous. Happy to give you credit to whatever floats your boat. And thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, folks, truth isn't just serious. It's drop dead serious.